Welcome to Stockwatch. You with me, Bright Kumalo. Tackling your questions today in studio is Ashraf Muhammad from Arkham Capital and Derek Janse van Rensburg from Anchor Securities. Don't forget to send those questions through to us via SMS to 41392 or email us at stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at Business Day TV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Gents, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brad.
Yes, it's been a very interesting couple of days in the markets, especially local and offshore. But I'd like to specifically talk about the JSE and some of those numbers we saw from the likes of Hulamin. What do you guys make of that?
Carry on. Look, we've had trading updates. We knew what to expect. It was at the bottom end of the range.
Yes. Yes.
So, if you were disappointed, then you shouldn't have been, because the trading update was there. It had guided you to those numbers. I think global economy is suffering. South African economy is under significant pressure. It's no surprise that you're seeing very disappointing numbers come through. I didn't think that the ShopRite numbers were particularly bad.
Yeah.
It seems the market was very disappointed. Those shares were down 9% today.
Yeah.
South Africa performed particularly well, but it was the rest of Africa that pulled back, as well as the additional shares that created the dilution.
And what's it up for you?
Yeah, look, I mean, just looking at it from a sort of bird's eye perspective, we're almost getting to this pinnacle point in the market where we subscribe to the known fact that there's bad news out there. We've got a very bad backdrop when we talk about the economic environment. And, bad news could start to be good news, but it's going to take time. So you obviously got some very soft ShopRite numbers. I think the share price actually did overreact a little bit to the downside. We know that we're in a tough economic environment. We know that there's trading statement after trading statement saying that earnings are going to be down. But remember, markets look forward and they're pricing a lot of the worst case scenarios. So the known factors, and another one is also the cup numbers that came out, that bad news was guided to via a trading statement. And again, a lot of bad news is in the market, in the current share prices at the moment. The fact of the matter is this market, if you just look across, particularly the SA Inc. space, is looking cheap. The question is, how long does it remain cheap, and when do we start to see some fundamental turnaround? And it all depends on growth at the end of the day, and we're just not quite there yet. So I think it will be cheap for a while. How much worse could the news out there get from an earnings perspective? Yeah, maybe slightly worse, but again, just bear in mind that markets do look forward. I'm not calling the market a buy by any stretch of the matter, but I'm just making the point that there is a lot of bad news that's starting to be priced into a lot of the stock prices at the moment.
Okay, Francois Richard Smith is asking about the telecom space. He's saying MTN, Vodacom, Cell C and Telkom are all dismal. Any prospect of improvement in the near future for any of these companies?
So that is the one sector where you have price deflation.
Yep.
Telkom told the story 3, 5, 7 years ago, as those fixed line rates came down, etc. And they were very clear that they had to move into digital age.
Yeah.
Fiber was their big driver, as well as mobile.
Which has kept them alive, to be fair.
Absolutely. However, you've got to remember that the super profits in the mobile telephony, as well as data, have been made, and prices will continue to come under pressure. Just by way of example, friends of mine are traveling through Eastern Europe. They paid 10 euros for 100 gigs.
10 euros for
100 gigs.
Of
data.
I was traveling in Kenya. I paid, I think, 165 rands for 20 gigs, 200 SMSs, 200 minutes for free. But for an additional dollar on top of that line, I got 5 gigs free. So that, it's insane to think about it. And this excludes YouTube and WhatsApp, because those are, you get additional data for free for that, so which is insane.
Sure. So that is what you're dealing with. And in South Africa, if we do that price comparative, we are still very expensive. And that's the pressure that these guys are going to feel.
So, Derek, is this an argument of spectrum with regards to the telecoms themselves? Because that seems to be the rebuttal to our conversation about, you know, data prices. You laugh.
I disagree.
Yeah. That seems to be like the obvious logical, you know, rebuttal from them. But is really that the truth? Because, I mean, the spectrum that's currently underused by them, it's massive.
Sure, absolutely. And I think that's the next sort of logical step is probably the spectrum distribution. But remember, you need a healthy balance sheet to make sure that you can
take advantage
of those spectrum auctions that are hopefully coming to market soon.
Yep.
You know, I look at this and I say, you know what? We've seen the global tech space evolve and adapt to the way that business is now done. And I'm kind of alluding to things like Netflix and streaming and the Disneys of the world. You know, I think these mobile operators from a South African perspective need to start to think about how they horizontally integrate in the current environment that they're in at the moment. And that might mean coming up with some kind of a data, and when I say data, I'm not talking about megs, I'm talking about hardcore content that they could potentially auction, buy, and start to deliver through the networks and through the database that they got. So they do need to start to evolve. If you just look at the Cell C company, you know, it's extremely debt burdened. Whether it comes to market with a listing and hopefully squashes some of that debt is remain to be seen. I think Vodacom is extremely cash generative, but where are they going from a technology perspective, as I alluded to in the beginning of the conversation? MTN's also had its own troubles and obviously you know, operates in a very high-risk arena when you talk about pulling money out of Nigeria, Nigeria being a very big component to their earnings. Yep. So where do they go from here? They need to innovate. And, you know, as we stand today, MTN, you know, not sitting on a bad yield. It's okay. It's cash generative. Probably not a bad place to hide in a market that continues to kind of trickle down to the downside at the moment.
Okay. The next logical question is, you know, Ascendi's Health and Aspen, you know, side by side. These are businesses with their own problems, but this one says Ascendi sits with a NAV of 14 rands. That's what management is valuing it at, and currently trading around 4.50. Is it a buy here? And we've got Aspen with, you know, their own debt burden, trading around 60 something rands. Is it an opportunity of a lifetime?
So let's start with Aspen first, because in our morning note we put out the fact that Aspen is now 47th in terms of market cap ranking in on the JSE,
no longer,
which
in the
means
40.
That when the top 40 review happens next week, they could very well fall outside of the top 40.
Wow.
That happens, there's going to be natural selling in the market. While we think that it's going to start offering value and management will take actions, we think those actions are going to take 2 to 3 years.
It's not going to be a quick fix.
No, there's no quick fixes in an economic environment like the one we have right now.
Yeah.
So especially the European operation. So we think you can be patient and you can wait at least 12 to 18 months before you get into Aspen. The growth story is over. It's now a business that needs to be managed like it's a big business, and certain actions have to be taken. They've got fat in various parts of their businesses. They know it. They have to deal with it. Ascendis, the Remedica transaction seems to be happening.
So selling the crown jewels, essentially.
That's essentially it, in order to pay off the debt. What the price they receive is going to be critical to the entire NAV discussion, because I think the 14 Rand NAV is inflated because they paid top dollar for a lot of their assets. So if you have to go and say, what's a market-related price, that NAV, I think, halves. And in a discussion I had with a fund manager, we came to a number around 650.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, just
so still cheap at 450, I'm just saying.
Depends if they get this deal through. I mean, this could be a 450 stock or a 7 Rand stock, and if that deal doesn't go through, it could be a 2 Rand 30 stock.
True.
The fact of the matter is, you've got to go look at underlying earnings per share. You know, what are they delivering? And if you go look at their last set of numbers, you'll very quickly extrapolate the fact that this is sitting on, call it a 10 times multiple. It all comes down to earnings. I don't care about NAV. You know, we can all value the businesses
in 10 different ways.
In 10 different ways.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
show
yeah.
me your Fair hardcore enough. Headline earnings per share, and then I can have a convicted reason to buy. You know, the other thing about Aspen is you're sitting in an environment where it's extremely debt burdened. They're obviously dealing with it. I think on their last reported results, their debt peaked at around $52 billion, and now you're talking at a market cap in today's terms, as you alluded to, of around $30 billion. So there's lots of questions on, do they do a rights issue? How do they
it's
start
too late
to,
for rights issue.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you start to rebolster that balance sheet? You know, and you're obviously going to be selling down some key assets to obviously reduce that debt. But in this market environment where you've got negative GDP growth, you don't want to be invested in growth stories that are driven by way of debt and taking on debt to grow. So you just want cash flush businesses in this environment, strong dividend underpins. This is certainly, you know, it's probably priced right where it is at the moment.
It's a tough one, but still sticking to that theme of debt, a good friend of mine, Tenani Kutama on Twitter, asked what are our views on Blue Label Telecoms. I mean, they're sitting on debt of $6 billion, in market cap of around $3 billion, and, you know, the catalyst, as I tweeted earlier, was basically the Cell C deal, which apparently everyone told them not to do it because, you know, it's Cell C. Cell C has always been known before losing money.
Mm-hmm. So I think Blue Label is a business that did well for 15 years.
Exceptionally well.
Great cash flow generation.
Great management.
But technology is surpassing the business. So buying airtime, buying electricity, etc., can now be done on your smartphone. And you don't need an Apple to do it.
Yeah.
So you suddenly surpass them, and their business model, in my view, becomes irrelevant. So it's going to taper off, but I can't see this business growing. And they thought buying Cell C would give them a captive market, and they'd be able to sell more product. That's not happening. It's now become a burden on their cash flow. So I think this is a business that going to struggle going forward.
Yeah, any comments on?
Yeah, and again, you know, markets look forward. I mean, look at the share price. You know, you must remember
down about 5.7% today.
And the Cell C, if you just look at the Cell C balance sheet, this is a balance sheet that is under extreme stress because of the debt burden, and not just because of the debt burden, but because of the cost of debt that they're carrying on balance sheet within the Cell C stable at the moment. So the big signature moment for Blue Label is how do they monetize Cell C? You know, they've got, call it a 50% stake in Cell C. I don't know the exact number that they got. But the long and short of it is, are they going to come to market? Are they going to list? Are they going to use the cash raised from listing to cancel some of the debt? And then you could potentially see some upside. But I just, there's just no... there's nothing in the short term to indicate when they're going to do that.
For Cell C, there's no better time to list some of those shares right now. But it's time for a break. Keep sending through those questions via SMS at 41392 or email us at stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. Welcome back. Taking a look at the markets, the S&P 500 is down about a third of a percent. NASDAQ also down about a third of a percent. And the Dow down 0.27%. Now let's cross over to other markets in Europe, where the FTSE is down just under a percent. They're down 0.9%. And the CAC in France at down 0.5%. And the DAX in Germany down 0.55%. No DAX, just the DAX. Still with me in studio are Ashraf Mohammed from Arqaam Capital and Derek Janssen van Rensburg from Anchor Securities. Jens Erhard Dutoit, hopefully I pronounced that name right, says he would like to know the panel's view on two shares, Famous Brands and Delta Properties. So we'll start with Delta, Mohammed, there. What are your views on Delta?
So the Delta Rebosis transaction,
yes,
which was announced 3 weeks ago.
Two, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. I think that's been driving the Delta property price lower.
Wow.
People are speculating that both parties need the deal. I don't think the Delta management team needs the deal. I think the transaction, Rebosis are desperate to do the transaction.
Think so.
In order to pull them out.
I think the other way around, but okay.
Rebosis is technically bankrupt. So, and I could show you the maths. That's why it was a short for me about 3 months ago. But that aside, so Delta is far better managed in terms of its cash flow, and has better depth of management as well. So in my view, that's why the transaction needs to happen. And I think what's gonna burden them is the fact that they're gonna have to deal with the Rebosis debt. $9 billion alone, which is which sits on the net bank balance sheet.
That's steep, yeah.
So I think Delta on their own can manage through what's a very tough period, but not Rebosis. And if the deal's done, it's going to be done in favor of Delta.
Yeah, look, I'm from Durban, and I've seen those Delta buildings. They've been empty for over 5 years now, but it's a conversation for another day. Derek, famous brands?
Yeah, so let's actually talk about this for a second and just generally from an SA perspective, and I'll deal with famous brands. So
yes.
This is a perfect case example of a South African company that wanted to diversify earnings, went offshore, said, okay, let's try hard currency some assets and let's try generate some cash through the GBK acquisition, right?
And got burnt.
And they got burnt badly.
Yes.
We all know the state of the UK economic backdrop at the moment, which is also in an extremely dire place at the current moment in time. And you know, and even something like Sasol, looking at the Lake Charles project, you know,
yes,
all these companies
yes.
going offshore, looking to diversify earnings and kind of saying, well, let me play in an arena that's unknown to me and see what we can do. And it's burnt them. Currently, Famous Brands to me is still a very expensive stock. It's also been a bit of a short for us for some time. But I still think, you know, it's, you know, high PE stocks in the current market environment are just not attractive, you know, regardless of writing down GBK or where they stand at the moment. I still think there could be potentially a little bit more downside to it. And I guess a lot of these South African companies that moved offshore need to come back to grassroots and start to rebuild what they once had. A lot of that depends on economic growth, and it comes back to that GDP growth conversation in the beginning of the show. You know, we need economic pickup in South Africa.
Yeah, that's a very interesting conversation, because one of analyst friends of mine, we had a conversation talking about the space of eating out. Apparently, it's actually increasing that people are eating out more often than not, and not just by ordering through like ghost kitchens like Uber Eats and stuff. People are actually going out and trying to eat out. So this is obviously a trend that's playing out in Europe and in the US. Hopefully it'll come, you know, locally and it will benefit the likes of famous brands. This question comes from Sihle Ngomane, who's asking about Discovery. Is this an opportunity, or, you know, let it go down a bit before you go in?
I think you can be patient. I think there's going to be a lot of volatility within Discovery.
Yeah.
So my view is, I think it closed just under 100 Rand today. You can wait for it anywhere around 95 to 90 Rand to use that as an entry point. I can't see it recovering sharply over the next month or two.
Do you have views on Discovery?
Yeah, look, you know, where it bottoms out, I don't know. But what I can tell you is this is a quality business with quality management. I know it's sat, call it in the expensive realm of the market, and it's obviously derated on the back of the NHI announcement.
To be fair, they're not the only one re-rating, but it's the whole spectrum.
So my feeling is it's a bit of a re-rating in terms of the high valuation that it sat on for quite some time.
Yep.
I still like the business. You know, I don't like to kind of nitpick for certain key price levels or 2 or 3% lower. I think it is starting to look attractive. I think it's not going to shoot the lights out in the next sort of 2, 3, 4, 5, or even 6 months. But at these prices, I'm happy to start accumulating slowly and saying, you know, this is a stock that I want to hold in 5 years' time. And at the current valuation metrics, it makes sense. It was also, the NHI bull was also extremely vague. You know, Discovery came out with an announcement on Thursday to try and give a little bit of clarity to it. And we saw the share price bounce from 100 to 110 Rand. Now, that just talks to some of the sort of short exposure in the stock that was scrambling to short cover in the short term. And I still think it's a very shorted stock in the market. So, you know, it could go lower, could go to your 90 Rands, maybe even 85. But I think around 100 Rand, I would certainly start to think about accumulating some stock.
These are levels we last saw, you know, in something like 2013, 2014.
Sure.
So at some point, it will be a bargain. But we still have those problems, like you're saying. And on top of that, you know, the fact that in other matured markets where they operate, interest rates are very low and they don't really make any money on their capital adequacy and all the cash that they keep in those structures. So it's not looking good for Discovery for now in the interim. But this question I like from Tumen, who's asking us, it seems like, you know, the JSE is only performing through the mining companies, basically, is asking which one is the best to buy right now, diversified miners.
Whoa. I wouldn't go there right now.
Why?
Well, I think that globally, we're going to have a slowdown.
Yep.
GDP growth is going to slow. The miners have had BHP, African Rainbow have had tailwinds in terms of the iron ore price. BHP had a bit of the oil price as well. African Rainbow had the platinum tailwind. The one that's suffered the most, relatively speaking, is Anglo American. It hasn't had really had many tailwinds. It's benefited.
Glencore?
It's benefited from Kumba Iron Ore.
Yes,
but it's rather indirect. Glencore is cheap, but it seems as though that business is going through a restructure at the moment. And don't forget, Department of Justice is still investigating them. So
yes,
we could wake up in 3 weeks' time or 5 months' time, and the directors have to appear in court, and that will hurt the share price again. So I wouldn't take that risk. So of the diversified miners, Anglo's would be my choice.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, particularly what's happened in the last 2 months, we've seen a little bit of a structural shift, and I think it talks to the growth dynamics that are playing out from a global perspective, and particularly from China. However, we must remember that the way these resources are positioned today, and I'm talking about the Anglos, the Billitons, and Glencore's to some extent, but I mean, the way these businesses are positioned today are very different to where they were, call it in 2016, where they were highly leveraged businesses. There was talk of fire sale assets. There was talk of selling Kumba at some stages just to sort of free float the balance sheet. They're sitting on a lot of cash. They've dealt with a lot of the debt burden that they came out with. And they're paying, call it, decent dividend yields. And there is a dividend, and there is dividend policies in place to return cash to shareholders.
Yes, we've seen buying shares as well.
It is cyclical. It's a cyclical sector of the market, and it is going to be very volatile. If I had to pinpoint one that looks quite interesting to me, would probably be Exxaro.
Exxaro.
And I'll tell you why. Is really, they've got their exposure to the Sishen plant, which talks to your high iron ore price and the cash flow that's coming through.
Okay.
They recently did the part sale of the Tronox transaction, which brought some cash onto balance sheet, and they've spoken about returning that cash to shareholders. So call it the dividend underpinned in something like Exxaro, although coal prices and metallurgical coal prices have come back in the short term, I still think there's a lot of cash on balance sheet that needs to return to shareholders. So probably quite cheap and maybe a little bit of upside from the current levels.
Okay. Still sticking with you, Derek, I want to ask for your stock picks. Your stock pick, you said it's something that has outperformed managers since 2012. What is that?
Cash. So I'm going with cash. And I mean, just to be clear, I mean, I've been doing the show for many years. And yes. For the last two times that I've actually come on here, it's the first time that I've actually chosen cash.
So it's not such a bad choice.
It just puts into perspective kind of my lack of conviction in the market at the moment.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have seen some rand weakness towards the 1550, 1530, 1550 levels. At the moment, I'm happy to hold on to rand cash, and at the right point, I'll probably look to dollarize that and focus on the offshore markets.
Okay, and Mohammed?
So mine is ABSA.
Still cash in a way.
still to some extent. 20 months of restructuring post the Barclays split.
Yep.
And I think the business is now starting to take shape. They've moved the wealth business into personal banking.
Yep.
And I think that will be a good fit because they need to focus on the retail market. And the dividend yield is around 6.5%, which I think is attractive. So
I'll take anything above inflation in this market.
So to me, that's where I'd be putting my money.
Okay, thanks to my guest Ashraf Mohammed from Arqaam Capital and Derek Jansen van Rensburg from Anchor Securities. We take more of your stock related questions tomorrow. Have a good evening. I want to ask for your stock picks. Your stock pick, you said it's something that has outperformed managers since 2012. What is that?
Cash. So I'm going with cash. And I mean, just to be clear, I mean, I've been doing the show for many years. And
yes.
For the last two times that I've actually come on here, it's the first time that I've actually chosen cash.
So it's not such a bad choice.
It just puts into perspective kind of my lack of conviction in the market at the moment.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have seen some rand weakness towards the 1550, 1530, 1550 levels. At the moment, I'm happy to hold on to rand cash, and at the right point, I'll probably look to dollarize that and focus on the offshore markets.
Okay, and Mohammed?
So mine is ABSA.
Still cash in a way.
still to some extent. 20 months of restructuring post the Barclays split.
Yep.
And I think the business is now starting to take shape. They've moved the wealth business into personal banking.
Yep.
And I think that will be a good fit because they need to focus on the retail market. And the dividend yield is around 6.5%, which I think is attractive. So
I'll take anything above inflation in this market.
So to me, that's where I'd be putting my money.
Okay, thanks to my guest Ashraf Mohammed from Arqaam Capital and Derek Jansen van Rensburg from Anchor Securities. We take more of your stock related questions tomorrow. Have a good evening.